Okay, we are continuing Chapter 6 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And I'll just remind you where we were. The boys had all just gone off to start their trip to the Quidditch World Cup, and Mrs. Weasley had just caught the twins with all those, you know, trick candies in their pockets. She was very angry with them. Anyways, and they just set off. So it's Mr. Weasley, Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ginny, and Fred and George are all walking over. So, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It was chilly, and the moon was still out. Only a dull greenish tinge along the horizon to their right showed that daybreak was drawing closer. Harry having been thinking about thousands of wizards speeding around toward the Quidditch World Cup, sped up to walk with Mr. Weasley. "So how does everyone get there without all the muggles noticing?" he asked. "It's been a massive organizational problem," sighed Mr. Weasley. "The trouble is, about 100,000 wizards turn up at the World Cup, and of course, we just haven't got a magical site big enough to accommodate them all. There are places muggles can't penetrate, but imagine trying to pack 100,000 wizards into Diagon Alley or Platform 9 and 3 quarters. So we had to find a nice deserted moor and set up as many anti-muggle precautions as possible. The whole ministry's been working on it for months. First, of course, we have to stagger the arrivals. People with cheaper tickets have to arrive 2 weeks beforehand. A limited number use muggle transport, but we can't have too many clogging up buses and trains. Remember, wizards are coming from all over the world. Some apparate, of course, but we have to set up safe points for them to appear well away from muggles. I believe there's a handy wood they're using as an apparition point. And for those who don't want to apparate or can't, we use port keys. They're objects that are used to transport wizards from one spot to another at a prearranged time. You can do large groups at a time if you need to. There have been 200 port keys placed at strategic points around Britain. And the nearest one to us is up at the top of Stoat's Head Hill, so that's where we're headed. Mr. Weasley pointed ahead of them, where a large black mass rose beyond the village of Ottery St. Catchpole. "What sort of objects are port keys?" Harry asked curiously. "Well, they can be anything," said Mr. Weasley. "Unobtrusive things, obviously, so muggles don't go picking them up and playing with them. Stuff they'll just think is litter." You know, that seems almost like it could backfire, right? If you have a particularly environmentally conscious muggle.
Right. You should do that something like a fixture, you know?
Yeah, right. Like a fake hydrant or something, right?
Exactly. Or a lamppost.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid wizards. Anyways, they trudged down the dark, dank lane toward the village, the silence broken only by their footsteps. Sky lighted very slowly as they made their way toward the village, its inky blackness diluting to deepest blue. Harry's hands and feet were freezing, and Mr. Weasley kept checking his watch. They didn't have a breath to spare for talking as they began to climb Stoat's Head Hill, stumbling occasionally in hidden rabbit holes, slipping on thick black tufts of grass. Each breath Harry took was sharp in his chest, and his legs were starting to seize up, when at last his feet found level ground. "Phew," panted Mr. Weasley, taking off his glasses and wiping them on his sweater. "Well, we've made good time. We've got 10 minutes. Hermione came over the crest of the hill last, clutching a stitch on her side. "Now we just need the port key," said Mr. Weasley, replacing his glasses and squinting around at the ground. "It won't be big. Come on." They spread out, searching. They'd only been at it for a couple of minutes when a shout rent the still air. "Over here, Arthur! Over here, son, we've got it!" Two tall figures silhouetted against the starry sky on the other top of the hilltop. "Amos," said Mr. Weasley, smiling as he strode over to the man who had shouted. The rest of them followed. Mr. Weasley was shaking hand with a ruddy-faced wizard with a scrubby brown beard, who was holding a moldy-looking old boot in the other hand. "This is Amos Diggory, everyone," said Mr. Weasley. He works for the Department of the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures. And I think you know his son, Cedric. Cedric Diggory was an extremely handsome boy of around 17. He was captain and seeker of the Hufflepuff House Quidditch team at Hogwarts. Hi, said Cedric, looking around at them all. Everybody said hi back, except for Fred and George, who merely nodded. They'd never quite forgiven Cedric for beating their team, Gryffindor, in the Quidditch match of the previous year. Long walk, Arthur, Cedric's father asked. Not too bad, said Mr. Weasley. We live just on the other side of the village there. You? Had to get up at 2, didn't we, said. I'll tell you, he'll be glad when he's got his apparitioning test. Still, not complaining. Quidditch World Cup wouldn't miss it for a sackful of galleons, and the tickets cost about that. Mind you, looks like I got it off easy. Amos Diggory peered good-naturedly around at the three Weasley boys, Harry, Hermione, and Ginny. All these yours, Arthur? Oh no, only the redheads, said Mr. Weasley, pointing out his children. And this is Hermione, friend of Ron's, and Harry, another friend. Merlin's beard, said Amos Diggory, his eyes widening. Harry? Harry Potter? Yeah, said Harry. Harry was used to people looking curiously at him when they met him, used to the way their eyes moved at once to the lightning scar on his forehead, but it always made him feel uncomfortable. Sid's talking about you, of course, said Amos Diggory. Told us all about playing against you last year. I said, that'll be something you tell your grandchildren, that you will. You beat Harry Potter. Harry couldn't think of anything to reply to this, so he remained silent. Fred and George were scowling again. Cedric looked slightly embarrassed. Harry fell off his broom, Dad, he muttered. I told you it was an accident. Yes, but you didn't fall off, did you? Said Amos genially, slapping his son on the back. Always modest, Arthur said, always the gentleman. But the best man won, I'm sure, Harry'd say the same, wouldn't you? One falls off his broom, mother stays on. You don't need a genius to tell which one's the better flyer. Must be nearly time, said Mr. Weasley quickly, pulling out his watch again. Do you know whether we'll be waiting for any more, Amos? No, the Lovegoods have been there for a week already, and the Fawcetts couldn't get tickets, said Mr. Diggory. There aren't any more of this in the area, are there? Not that I know of, said Mr. Weasley. It's a minute off. Well, we better get ready. He looked at Harry and Hermione. You just need to touch the port key, that's all. A finger will do. With difficulty, owing to their bulky backpacks, the 9 of them crowded around the old boot held by Amos Diggory. They all stood there in a tight circle, as a chill breeze swept over the hilltop. Nobody spoke. It suddenly occurred to Harry how odd this would look if a muggle were to walk up here now. 9 people, 2 of them grown men, clutching this manky old boot in the semi-darkness, waiting. 3, muttered Mr. Weasley, 1 eye still on a watch. 2, 1. It happened immediately. Harry felt as though a hook just behind his navel had been suddenly jerked irresistibly forward. His feet left the ground. He could feel Ron and Hermione on either side of him, their shoulders banging into his. They were all speeding forward in a howl of wind and swirling color. His forefinger was stuck through the boot, as though it was pulling him magnetically onward, and then his feet slammed into the ground. Ron staggered into him as he fell over. The portkey hit the ground near his head with a heavy thud. Harry looked up. Mr. Weasley, Mr. Diggory, and Cedric were standing still, though looking very windswept. Everybody else was on the ground. 5:07 from Stotshood Hill, said a voice. And that's the end of Chapter 6. And next we'll read Chapter 7, called Bagman and Crouch. You like that, Boo? Are you still with me? Oh, my kitty. Alright, well, I'll say goodnight to you. I love you so very much. Sweetest girl ever. Sleep well, kitty. Good night.